Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
This is A View from the Bridge, official podcast of the Belfast Giants for kingdomofthegiants.com. Today's Wednesday, the 25th of October, 2022. My name is Patrick Smith. We're live on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter. You can also download us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor FM, a lot more of your normal podcast providers. And as I discovered today, you can actually say, Alexa, play the A View from the Bridge podcast and... Alexa, stop. Stop.
Do you realize that you've just caused chaos in homes all over the place?
Yeah, good. I hope so. Are you sure you do that and it'll come up on this week's show?
Alexa, tell me a dirty joke.
unplugging Alexa now.
We're off to a flyer. Brilliant.
The mixed weekend for the Belfast Giants with victory in Wales and just falling short in Surrey. We'll get those games shortly. Scott Conway is our guest on the fan agenda. Joe will be giving us all the news from around the league, and there's three games in the next 7 days for us to have a look ahead to. Mr. McGimsey, how you doing?
Good evening, Patrick. I'm not too bad. Not too craig bad.
What's the drink of choice tonight, mate?
A little Moretti. Find a bag of beers downstairs that somebody brought back from a party, so I've put them in my fridge in my bedroom and just been taking them 1 week at a time.
Nice. Joel, how you doing, buddy? Oh, was there a big gender reveal this week, mate?
We are having a wee...
Did you have a big party? Do you have where something exploded?
No, a lot of those gender reveals. It can also go so horribly wrong. I mean, I thought that was better just to be understated about it. So we find out on Saturday, was it?
I just realized you're talking about the baby there.
Congratulations, Joel. Or do we say they? Or what is it these days, Joel?
We are having a baby boy.
A little boy.
Very, very delighted. Would have been delighted regardless. You know, it's one of those things you just... You want everything to be as healthy as possible and you know, that things are progressing well. But, a boy sounds about right.
Take Another it from me, really. You know, Davy has two little girls, beautiful little girls, but take it from me as a little boy. girls are great. They're intelligent. To the most part, they'll do it. At this point, Declan, he's three. He's just going wild, punching
chaos
things,
agent.
Jumping over and just wrecking things. Declan the Destroyer. So, yeah.
Best Love that. Man. Yeah, thank you. Not for the first time this week. You've given me really encouraging words. Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, that's the way I'm going to do it, mate. Anyway, let's crack on with the show. We're going to start, actually, because tomorrow, Davey, is actually quite a special day.
Oh, yes.
Oh, dear. Here we go. I forgot about this.
You got a little bit of action there, have you?
I do have a little bit of action about the share. There it is.
Tom Darnell.
The 26th of October 2022 marks 20 years since the Nottingham Panthers came into the SSE, then the Odyssey Arena, and a brawl took place. Davey?
You know, it was one of those end of the game. I think the pocket rocket, if I'm right, standing on the other side of the glass.
He is. Wayne McCulloch is there.
And, You know, I think at this stage, Paxton's got a good one-on-one going there. Nike Art grabs him from behind. I think Tobart's involved as well. Somebody wriggles loose from somewhere else. And this is just disgusting. At the end of the day, and Nike Art had the faces Waterloo on the, I think it was the 31st of December that year, or certainly in the December. They went center ice, of course. Formerly of the Nottingham Panthers, Gary Moran said Barry Nightgar never lost a fight, but he got fed his dinner that night. And unfortunately for Paxton, you know, that left Paxton with proper life-changing injuries. And it's not something Paxton really ever wants to talk. I know we've got the never forgive, never forget. And that's for one of the main reasons, because a friend of ours got really seriously injured playing a game. Yes, you know there's risks involved in fight, there's we Ricky as well. You know there's risk involved, and these big guys like Paxton all knew the risks. But that was dirt. That was from behind, punching in the back of the head, causing serious brain injuries to Paxton. It's not something that I know 20 years on burns as hot in my veins as it ever will. I hate that Panthers organization, everything that ever came out of them. The M42 is the only decent thing that ever came out of Nottingham.
It was one of those, I wrote a piece long ago for Kingdom of the Giants about, you know, I remember
piece,
back, and
piece.
It was,
put it on, get it back on again.
I'll have to find it, but it was one of those that, you know, it was, Nottingham Panthers fans always give a bit of a, never forget, but it's not that, it was a coming of age for the Belfast Giants as an organization, the Belfast Giants fans, as fans watching the game. You know, it was a second season, a season that we went on to win the title. It was second, I think it was third season.
Second
season. We went on to win the title, but it was one where...
Well, third season, really. 2000.
Oh, there's Ricky Stagg watching. Hi, Ricky.
Hey, Ricky. Hey, Ricky. Right.
But it was one of those ones that, you know, it was the first time something that happened like that had happened in our arena. It was the first time we'd seen something like that happen to one of our players, and it brought us on as an organization, brought us on as a fan base, and introduced us a lot more people to that element of the game. And yes, it's something that we remember, and yes, we do have the never forgive, never forget sort of mantra that we put towards it, but that's more of a case of us than it is about anybody else. Joe, what did you,
to be fair, I have Paxton's shirt from that night, and he wrote it on the fight strap, so that's good enough for me.
Absolutely, mate. Joel,
he's not forgiving, he's not forgetting.
From your point of view, mate, you know, obviously, you know, you're a lot younger than us.
I do never ever bring that up. Actually, I find it a very sensitive topic, but I am a lot younger than both of you, despite how haggard I look right now. Yeah, look, it's folklore, isn't it? You know, like it's in the same way, not to jump straight into a football comparison, but you know, you grow up around a club and here where we're from, you know, obviously the Belfast Giants don't predate the year 2000, so most people my age have grown up around a football club, and you have the old boys sort of, you know, put their arm around you, telling you stories, war stories of the olden days, telling you how it used to be, big finals, big games, whatever else. And it's kind of like that. It's the Giants version of that for me. You know, it's one of those things that once you scratch the surface of the club these days, you will sooner or later hear the story of and the origins of one of the kind of great rivalries. And I don't care if Panthers fans say that it's not a rivalry. It's one of those things that burns bright for us, and I don't really care what they think. So, yeah, look, I mean, I definitely don't have the burning fire that Davey has, but I'm very familiar with it, and I can definitely understand it. You know, I think these days, if you're going to rank Giants, you know, rivals in terms of on the ice and the teams that there's that much ill feeling about, or the most ill feeling about, it's Cardiff, it's maybe Sheffield. But the Nottingham Panthers has never really gone away as the sort of archetypal enemy team in the league. And it's because of that. So, yeah, no, I always enjoy when you boys pull up a sandbag. I like hearing stories from the olden days whenever TV was a lot more grainy.
And of course, I say tomorrow, March 20th, I'm still struggling to deal with the fact it was 20 years ago, but tomorrow marks 20 years since that event took place. And of course, the Belfast Giants play tomorrow night. So a bit of a request out there to Neil Whiteside. If you can get it on all the screens, get a commemoration going, that'd be great. Thanks.
Totally right.
But yes.
Any thoughts yourself, Patrick? You know, you're allowed your own.
Yeah. Why are you asking me?
Well, like I say,
a bit of bile spill out there.
It's like, I remember it very well. I was stood on the bridge. It was funny enough when that took place. And like you say, you can see down below, you can see Wayne McCulloch, who was there, was banging on the glass. And we're like, get him on.
That's brilliant.
But I recall very well about how Nike Art was getting stuck in. He got a Travesty of the Game awarded to him as well. And I remember being in the bar afterwards and we're just talking about it. And it just was one of those things that will always stick in my brain as being a seminal moment in my early career as a fan of the Belfast Giants. It's that game also had Corey Carlander kicked out for diving, basically doing a Superman in the second period. I think second period, and getting kicked out of the game. His lovely wife at the time came by to ask where he'd gone because she'd missed that he'd left the ice, and we'd tell him, "Oh, he's been thrown out of the game." But it was a game that was full of events, and a game that we won. Yeah. And that's they're mine. And 20 years ago, mate, tough to contemplate, but there we are. Here's to more many memorable days, but that one will stick in the craw for forever, I think. Anyway, right, let's crack on. The Belfast Giants returned to league action this week, and they travelled for the first time for a league battle against the Cardiff Devils and were victorious with a 4-2 win over Cardiff in the Calbon Arena. The Belfast Giants raced to a 3-0 lead through Lake Goodwin and Conway before Trevor Cox on the power play got one back. And then Blake Thompson made it 3-2. And Goody, on 50 minutes, finished the game at 4-2 in goals. Jackson Whistle, 36 shots against, 2 goals against. The other side, Ben Bounds, 26 shots against, 4 goals against. Tom Pering and Matt Rose were the referees. Davey, you were on the gantry there. Strong performance from the Belfast Giants.
Yes, I guess advantages that were that it wasn't our first visit of the season, you know, having that preseason game there, I think probably helped the guys out a little bit. In terms of performance, coming out in that first period so hard and really sucking the atmosphere and the emotion out of the building was really crucial. And, you know, come 15 minutes into that game, we were dominant. Yes, the Cardiff Devils had their chance. And yes, I thought Jackson Whistle was absolutely superb between the pipes. I think he turned away some like 34, 35 shots across the course of the night. But getting those two early goals was really crucial. That second period, as you would expect, a bit of pushback from Cardiff, but Conway coming up, as he has, I think it's 17, 18 goals through 16, 17 games. He's just been on fire. He really has. He's been really lethal so far. They get the power play opportunity, of course, and on fresh ice, they've come out and they've brought it back to 3-1, and they've re-engaged the building and come in with that second goal. And Adam Keefe calls an absolutely superb timeout for me, and he drains again. He almost drains the arena. They didn't get the go again and use that momentum. He had sucked it all out again, and we came back with a really, really quick, really well worked goal. Coops goes down low, plays a little 1-2 off the back of the net, and then just that little backhand through the crease, and Captain David Goodwin at the back post with the backhand just to stick it past Ben Bounds and restore that 2-goal lead. And the Giants went on comfortably enough to what was a really, really good performance and a good win.
I think, you know, Jackson Whistle's performance, Joel, as Davey mentioned, you know, to turn away, what was it I said? He had 36 shots against, 2 goals against. It was a cracking one, especially in that arena.
Jackson Whistle just continues for me to go from strength to strength. I think maybe, you know, we've talked about goalie selection and how it's sort of chopped and changed, and how, you know, a goalie being pulled is not necessarily on the goalie and whatever else. But with all of that set aside, I think it was telling that Wiss was the go-to for this entire weekend. And I think he was rightly in between the pipes this entire weekend, even in the loss that we'll come on to talk about. But yeah, look, Wiss is growing as a person. You have to remember, he came to Belfast so young. He was fresh out of the WHL. He had sort of historic hip problems that weren't dealt with. He's had, you know, fairly big surgery to get those corrected, and it's taken him a while to kind of come back and feel completely comfortable. But I think we're starting to see Wiss at his best now. And to be honest, I still think there's a lot more to come from him as well as he continues to grow. But he's right up there now in terms of the league rankings for save percentages, and it's great to see. I just hope that Peyton Jones's confidence is good, and that Peyton Jones is working away, and he knows that he'll get his chance, and he knows that he'll contribute to this team. But it's no bad thing for us to have two good goalies kind of juking it out.
Davey, for us to race ahead like that and get those 2 goals and 3 goal lead against Cardiff, obviously in recent years Cardiff have been up there battling, but for the Giants to take that the way that they did, and yes, the Cardiff battled back, but what was it about Cardiff that made that they were struggling against the Giants?
I don't necessarily think the struggle. We're a very, very strong team possessionally, 5-on-5, and you know, we eliminated a lot of it. But as I say, the home ice advantage that Cardiff have is one of the big factors for their game. And if they don't have it, which we just didn't allow them to get. We didn't allow the crowd to engage. And it's like, hockey's a massive game of emotion and momentum, and we just didn't allow them any momentum. We didn't allow any emotion in the game. We'd kill that game, basically, after 15 minutes. We were so good, so strong. Okay, we'll come on to Saturday as well. That line of Conway, Goodwin, and Cooper is absolutely unplayable at times. And if you can't shut that down, and the Cardiff Devils couldn't shut them down, you're in big trouble. But conversely, that we're not getting much secondary and tertiary scoring. So that's a problem. We're not getting much from the blue line either in terms of scoring. So if teams can shut down that top line, it becomes a little more difficult for us. Cardiff Devils couldn't do that. And Conway, Goody, I keep going to say Pickenitz, but Coops had their way, absolutely had their way with the Cardiff Devils defence and Ben Bynes in particular.
Speed is a big thing there as well, Joe.
Massively so. If you don't mind, just a kind of note on that top line as well. I always kind of look for the narratives through a weekend, the stories that tie games together. And a lot of the chat is obviously about that top line, about the speed of that top line, their speed on the transition, their ability to execute, and also their ability to pull a goal out of nowhere. For me, the defining moment of that game wasn't the first period where we romped a 2-0 win with high tempo. It's whenever Brody Dupont clearly kicked a few water bottles around the room in that first period break and sent the Devils out to respond, and they did so. But that second period, for all of the offensive pressure that the Devils offered, what happened? Scott Conway gets into the zone on a 1-on-3, gets a shot away, picks up his own rebound, and sticks another goal in. That, to me, is the momentum. That's 20 minutes of a Devils team who have just emptied their bag trying to get back into this game, and Cons absolutely hammers them with another one. But then you move into, and we will move into, obviously, Guildford the next day, and what happens whenever you don't get those moments and don't get that scoring necessarily as freely from your top line? Where's it coming from? So it's the top line's ability to perform in the Devils game, and it's looking for secondary scoring and those moments from other lines whenever things aren't going so well.
Davey, you agreed on that point of Brody Dupont getting them motivated for the second period?
I think they were a lot stronger in the second period, and we had to be defensively really sound. And when I say defensively sound, I mean all six guys in the ice had to be defensively sound, and I think we were. We got, sometimes you can be critical about lines not scoring, but like Steve Ari, Chad Butcher, Tyler Sawyer were doing so much work going back towards their own net, which sometimes, you can't factor in the amount of block shots. I think I had a little row with Finney on Twitter on Saturday morning. I think we blocked 10.
Is he still around?
But it's talking about the Cardiff Devils out hit us. Well done. You get a hang a banner.
Hang a banner. Hang a banner.
Where
loads of hits, 22-23.
Well, my point, I guess, on hits versus blocks, I like blocks as a slightly more a better metric of how you can gauge, in terms of what affects a game more. In terms of statistics, roughly every 10 shots a goalie concedes a goal. Roughly, if he gets 10 at his belly, he saves all 10. But just roughly over the course of a season, they save 90% of the shots. So one in every 10 shots goes in net. If you block 10 shots, you basically statistically avoided a goal. So I'm just saying it's a better metric, and we had 10 guys. And every D-man on Friday night had a block shot. Every D-man had multiple shots on goal. So we got a lot of offense and defense from the blue line on Saturday or on Friday night. So, in terms of buy-in, yes, through that second period, Cardiff Devils came hard, but we were able to stand up that. As you say, Coop's going down that left wing and just popping it in to Cons, who's able to, all that two touch and one touch to play before a game, just taking it off his skate, and it's actually off his skate to save and reading, reacting, going in and getting his own rebound to put us 3-0 up. And at that stage, we were really solid. And unfortunately, I'll call a couple of ropey calls for sure. Put us up against it, and coming out with that cheek of fresh ice in the third period, let them get back into the game quickly. But we were able to stamp ourselves back in that game. It's just a real professional performance on Friday night.
Yeah, a 4-3 win for your Belfast Giants in Cardiff. The highlights from that game are available from our friends on Devils TV.
And that's all that happened this weekend. Here's Scott Conway.
It was you can get those Devils a great broadcast. Well, I was trying to think of what it was. Great broadcast from Murph and from Sheds. How were they, mate? Did you see Murph and Sheds there?
Yes, I did indeed. Dropped them down a wee coffee. I promised the coffees. It took me 3 hours to get from Bristol to Cardiff. So I had it also took 3 hours to get back again. So I couldn't go
on the bridge.
hard to know. It's like there's a red line in the sat nav, and you sit in traffic for 20 minutes and just for no reason, it just goes at 40 mile an hour and then stops again.
Five minutes later. Yeah.
No line reason. So I couldn't get the nice coffee shop as a promise. So they just had to deal with coffees from the concessions. So,
Delivery.
But they were in good form. Seen them afterwards. I took a guy called Michael Dobrovolsky with me to his first hockey game. I told you last week.
Oh, yes. Yeah. How did that go?
So took Michael down, and I say this often, we're in a really, really privileged position where we get to like meet people and stuff. So he's a big Leafs fan. So he couldn't believe that Sheldon Keefe's brother was Adam, you know, and Adam was very, very gracious with his time and someone had a chat to him, apologize for the fantastic Leafs and stuff. Got to meet Sheds, got to meet Murph from Newfoundland, another, you know, and who else did I meet? Can't remember, one of the guys. Jackson Wessel came and had a little chat to him as well. So, you know, the boys are very, they're splendid with their time and really gracious with that. So it was really nice for Michael to go to his first game, and we had 6 hours of chat going backwards and forwards from the game. So
your best friend, mate. Way that goes. I think he's six hours.
Unknown to me. So I only met Michael in September, and he didn't even know there was hockey in the UK, and has now got a Premier Sports subscription. He has taken every webcast, so he was able to. We're driving down to Cardiff, and he was able to tell me all about the Coventry games. He had watched both of them, and who was going, who wasn't going. Yeah. So it was really, as I say, really nice the boys to spend their time with them, and you know that stuff's not taken for granted. So we appreciate that when they do that.
Fantastic. Right on to lesser fantastic things. The Belfast Giants, the next day, travelled to Surrey to take on the Guildford Flames. Unfortunately, a 4-3 defeat for your Belfast Giants. The Flames goals come from Locke, Tedesco, Ferguson and Markland. Giants come from Bast, our guest coming up, Scott Conway and Davy Gilbert. In net, Eamon McAdam, 29 shots against, 3 goals against, and the other side, Wiss, with 16 shots against, 4 goals against, and the rest are Chris Wells and Andrew Jarvie. Joe, I'll start with you, a frustrating one.
We knew we were coming into a battle here. You know, Guildford have already done the job on us at the SSE. We know that that Paul Dixon puts together a fast skating team. Always a team that will kill you again in transition. They'll be hard skaters, fast skaters. I think the story of this weekend in the summary was perfectly put, I think, by Adam Keefe in the Bell Tell. He was speaking to our friend Adam McKendry, just saying right now we're trying to pass the puck into the net and just giving up turnovers, which feeds into the transition game. And Guildford hurt us in particular because they're so fast. We weren't dirty enough to find that extra goal that we needed. We timed our comeback too late. Finding more offensive contributions, that's something we need to address going forward. It's stressful Sundays are back, by the way. We did get a foothold on the game with that 5-on-3 power play, which was a big opportunity. And Guildford as well, even not just in terms of their speed and their offense, they've also, I think anyway, David could correct me, but have the highest rated penalty kill in the league as well. So the fact that we got that 5-on-3, I think helped us out. The thing that sticks with me in this game, though, it's a game we go to away to a team that have beaten us, and it's a tough game. But we weren't by any means shellacked, and there were a couple of points where we had the game on our stick and could have been a completely different outcome. After Cons ties it with another clutch goal in the second period, there's a breakaway between Chad Butcher and Tyler Soy, a 2-on-1, and McAdam comes out and separates Soy from the puck. You've seen that go in kind of 8 times out of 10, and then obviously David Goodman has that opportunity on the penalty shot. So I'm not taking too much I'm not beating myself up too much about this loss. I think that there are a few pivotal moments where it could have gone the other way, and again, as Adam Keefe says, if we had the secondary score and if we had the other lines contributing in the same way that Coops, Cons and Goody are doing, it could have been a different story. But you're not looking at that and seeing any sort of fundamental flaws or holes in our kind of title defense or domestic season. I see things that can be corrected and worked on.
Davey, obviously you were at this game as well, and one of the things you highlighted, especially on our chat, was the problem with the line change, which was quite apparent in that first goal.
Well, we just kind of got caught a little bit cold. This is a new rink for a lot of guys, and we just, you know, first shift, you know, 45, 50 seconds into the game, and you can see, I think it's Gabe Bast going off and probably... he was probably with Foley and I think Cully jumping on, and they've just allowed a stretch pass to the right wing, and it's the first shot Jackson faced. Yes, we're a little bit cold. We probably just got caught cold there, and you're 1-0 down against a team that, you know, have played well against you this season. As Joel would say it as well, fundamentally, we played really well the other night, actually. yes, we could have taken a little more chances. I think we outshot them like 2-1. I think Jackson had about 16 shots on. We had about 30 shots on. And certainly through the game, we had opportunities where we could have. You've talked about Tyler Soy's opportunity. You've talked about the penalty shot from David Goodwin. But, you know, we played well through this game. There was opportunities to get back on top. Taking that penalty towards the end of the game with a high stick, I think it was, and we've even came up with a shorthanded goal. So, you know, we've scored every way we could this weekend. We've had five big goals, but shorthanded 5-on-5. I think we're a really, really strong team, and I think somebody that might be coming on very soon, as he had a chat with somebody on the way off the ice, says, "We'll see you, and you know, we'll see you at the end of the season how things." That's not exactly what he said, but something along the lines of, "We'll see how things are at the very end of the season." Yeah. You know, and you know, you can't be too disappointed. You can't get the, you know, all that cliche stuff that we're talking about not getting too low or getting too high. You know, I think that we will be looking, as Adam Keefe says, we are looking for that secondary score. And yes, David Gilbert came up with a goal where I think the first one's really nice on the 5-on-3. We've played it in, and it's a lovely read and react from Gabe Bass to step in there and get a stick on, you know, after there's been a shot and it's came out as a bit of a rebound. McAdam played well. Sometimes it happens, boys. Their goalie played well. We couldn't get that secondary score, and it happens. I, you know, I'm happy enough that it was a good performance with boys, and particularly nothing to worry about as such.
Mm-hmm. Are the Flames the real deal, Joe?
It all comes down to staying power, doesn't it? It comes down to your ability to sustain that for a long time. I don't want to disrespect, you know, the teams like Guildford Flames, like the Coventry Blaze. But it's one thing to have a hot start to the season and have momentum behind you. But completing an entire Elite League season and getting through it and consistently putting points on the board home and away whenever everything's against you, whenever you're short benched, whenever you've got players missing, that's the real test. And at the minute, the Elite League, I think, sometimes suffers from its broad predictability in the past number of years. I think it would actually be really good for the league if other teams were able to compete and other teams were able to keep up the pace that the sort of two or three that you could maybe guess after Christmas will be running away with it. I think it would be great to see the Coventry Blaze and Guildford Flames in the mix come January, February time. But at the minute, I struggle to believe that that's going to be the case.
Davey?
They've got real deal players. Locke at the back, they've got good goaltending. Tate, Lagovic on the penalty kill. Tate has speed to burn. Tedesco. So they've got four or five real high-end players. Do they have the depth to sustain a challenge right through the winter and into the spring? I'm not so sure. That's not to say that Paul Dixon won't add a body here or there, but you know, while they've got that, it's a bit similar to Belfast Giants in that they've got four or five players really, really going. And when they're hot, and you know, that's what's sustaining them up towards the top of the standings. I think Tate is the real deal. Really high quality player, and speed kills. You know, we talk about it in our team, who's got speed, and we've talked about it for years. Steve Brunton, love it. The recruits get speed. Speed's something very, very hard to defend against. And you know, he's a really high skilled player as well. Just saying, he's a speed skater. Like, so they have players, Tedesco, Tate, the same lock. McAdam, four or five really, really high-end players there. So I don't think they've enough to sustain a title challenge, but they've certainly started very well.
Mm-hmm. McAdam, I think, really impressed me in that game. I thought he was excellent. And the one back at the SSE Arena. Right, the highlights in that game from Flames TV on YouTube. You can get that. Let's crack on to the fan agenda, brought to you by our good friends at Belfast Giants TV, a guy that we really enjoy having on this show, and the man who's scored at the weekend and is continues to impress, of course, Scott Conway. How are you doing?
Hey, go ahead, tell him.
We got a delay. We'll see how we get on that. Turn your phone sideways.
Oh, it's a bad delay. Can he hear us? Who's paying the internet in there? This delay, we're just going to be sitting here for like 5 seconds waiting for him to talk.
I've been telling Kiefer to get on that for a long time.
What's your take on the weekend, Cons? Obviously a good result on Friday in Cardiff, but then another frustrating one against the Flames that took place on Saturday.
Yeah, I think, we're a short body to begin with, so we're fighting an uphill battle. I think Friday night game definitely showed that we had some character. We came out pretty hot, and we were pretty comfortable in that first period, and generated a lot of chances and negated a lot of their chances. We did a good job on the back check, and we created that into some offense. And we went over that in the locker room today, just showing that good offense is a good defense. So the faster you can get the puck, the faster you can do something with it. So the Cardiff game was a great game for us. It's a character team win. But then we go into the game on Saturday versus Guildford, and it was okay. I thought we started a little slow. I think the guys were a little tired, playing a lot of minutes the night before, but I think that we stuck with it throughout the whole game. Guildford's a good team, but I think for the most part, we had our shot of winning that game. Like you said earlier, we had Goody's breakaway or penalty shot, Gilbert's breakaway. I had a chance there late in the third that could have buried. He had a nice save, pad save on me. Had a nice a chance in front. I had Goody back door and didn't see the puck coming. But yeah, I'm confident in our team. It's a long season, and I don't think don't count me wrong, but I don't think Guildford's going to be there at the end of the year fighting for that number one spot.
You don't think they do? You don't think they're the real deal? You think that they're just we've stumbled against them?
Yeah, they had good goaltending against us. I'm really good friends with Ryan Tate. He played in my same school as me, and just saying that the goaltending there has been hot against us. He McCadden played with David Goodwin and at Penn State. I played with him for a year too, and so you know he's going to bring it. Being against a roommate, which David was of his, and trying to show.
Uh-oh, Paddy. Uh-oh.
Knew what it was going to be.
Oh, he's back, back. Oh, sorry. We lost.
Sorry, did I cut out there a little bit?
You're okay. Just a couple
you're
seconds.
You're okay, keep going.
Okay, yeah, so when Goody couldn't do his normal penalty shot that he usually takes because Eamon knew what he was going to do, so he had to switch it up a little bit there. So he's a little uncomfortable with that. But at the end of the day, I think we're just getting everything figured out. I think we're going to be better in the defensive zone, and it's going to create a lot more offense for others on our team, as well as me, Goody, and Coop. So I just think if we shut things down as fast as we can on the D side of things, it's going to generate a lot more on the offense.
You talked there, Scott, about being roommates or teammates with Tate, a young lad there that's going really well. We were talking to about him just before you came on there, and a really fast, high skill skater. Is he just how you remember him?
Oh yeah. He was talking to him after the game. I'm like, if only I had your speed, I'd pay for that a lot of money. But yeah, he's just he's a fast twitch person. Every time you talk to him, he's got his little quick hand gestures and stuff. But yeah, very skilled player, very fast skater, and like you said earlier, like it challenges our D, especially seeing that much speed coming at them. It's pretty hard for them to do their job. All you can do is contain. So,
and you say that we're working on. So we've had a couple of incidents over the last couple of weeks there where I think it's their second goal probably, where we chip it up the wall, and we all sort of think Coops is going to clear it out, and we've gone to sleep, and four of us are on the half wall, and Goody's on the left wing. The center ice is just completely vacant. So that's things we're working on this week.
That's exactly right. Yep.
Okay, Joel.
Correct. Cons, you've been playing, I mean, when you went back to North America in 2009, when we were playing out in Detroit, I think it was AAA. You've been playing hockey for you know, you're not the oldest veteran on the team. Good evening, Mark Garside, but you have been playing for a long time now. You still seem to just have so much fun when you're playing hockey. Like, how much of that, you can tell us there's nobody watching, how much of that is playing up to the crowd and enjoying a celly, and how much of that is just still there's so much fire in your gut for what you do?
Yeah, I mean, you know me, I'm a competitive guy. If I can score, it just feels that. So I just enjoy it. If you don't enjoy your job, what you're doing, then you're doing something wrong. So I just try to live every moment as I can. I'm living the dream right now, and if I can be a better hockey player, I'm going to try to be it. And
So, I mean, here's the thing. Elite Prospects has added a projected field to a lot of their player records this year. You're currently on pace for 54 goals, 72 apples, and 126 points. How do you feel about that?
Take that.
Every day.
It's not enough.
I want to come back on that because I genuinely believe that that's not enough. You were beating Coventry 7-0 the other week, and you were like, busting to get on the score sheet.
He wasn't done.
Nope.
That my last question here. Go ahead.
I just gotta try competing with my dad. 250 goals that he had in the league back in the day.
You gotta compete with the greats. You know, you'll always be in that shadow. No, the one thing that I wanted to sort of ask, you know, jokes aside, you saying you need more and whatever else, you could have gone to Europe this summer. I mean, there's no way you couldn't have taken something. My personal opinion on Scott Conway is you drop you anywhere, the extra league of the Dell in Sweden, wherever else, and you're going to go and put numbers up and do a job, and you're going to be up there in terms of depth.
Stop selling him off.
We all know this, Patrick. This is a fact, and we're holding on to him for dear life, just hoping he doesn't go away. What was it that made you come back? You know, what was it that brought you back to Belfast? You're bound to know, obviously, that, and you're bound to aspire as well to see, you know, what's going on in Europe and where you can take your game. It seems to me like you do have a real love for this club and for everything that's going on around it, the energy around the place.
Yeah, there was definitely a few things that pulled me back. First was the city and stuff like that. I think Belfast is a top 5, top 10 organization in Europe, no matter what leagues are. Obviously, leagues pay different, but you have to consider that as well as the lifestyle. If you go to like Austria, Denmark, Sweden, Finland, half of those places don't speak your language. It's going to be tough on staff coming over there and trying to figure that out, where to get groceries or where to even go to the toilet when you're out. So that's tough. At least she understands the language and she's speaking a little bit of Belfast to you guys now. But but yeah, so that was another pull. I mean, and then obviously the great core group that I knew was coming back. I'm close with those guys, and it's hard to just say, hey, bye, we'll see you later. Maybe we'll see you in a couple years' time or whatnot. So that was another big pull. I knew I had a lot of opportunity when I'm playing on this team. I had a decent year last year, so I was expecting to better that this year. So as what you're saying, if I stay on pace, I'll be all right.
please just keep going.
Let's take it to Twitter, and we have Twitter and some questions that have come in from people who are watching. We're going to start with a bit of a controversial one coming in from Graham. Right, I want to share this picture. How do you feel about this picture and the ratings that have been used on NHL?
Oh!
76 skating, 70 shooting, 64 handling, 71 checking, 65 defense for an overall of 69.
That's disgusting.
I think the skating's a little too high. That should be around a 45. But other than that, it's pretty accurate.
Brutal.
As the resident stat guy, like I'm gonna bounce in there on defense here and say and defend the defense, saying like leading the team in plus minus. So,
I mean,
that's hard.
I strive in my defensive game, so that's kind of embarrassing, should I say, for the person who made that. but if you're considering you got to compete against the NHL guys, I get that. They're on a whole new level than what we're playing at. But shot, SHT, 70?
Yeah.
I think that should
70,
be a little
70 for shooting.
Should be a little lower, but 71,
for handling.
I'm soft as puppy shit. Come on now.
That's the truth, man.
No, have you, I heard that.
Have you had a go trying to play as yourself?
No, I have not. I have not even seen that until now, to be honest. So that's some good craft. I like that.
Hey, yeah. More importantly, I want to see the rest of the boys compared to Cons. can we see who the highest and lowest rated team our player on the team is? If somebody is
There's
watching right now and has NHL, could you let us know, please?
Look at that mugshot.
Oh, buddy.
Where's they got that mugshot from? They've got that from the Giants.
No,
what's that shirt?
No, that's Indiana Ice. That was way back in the day.
It's an old one.
That's 2013-14. Yeah. You've barely aged a day, yeah. Puns.
Yeah. Because I got my sleep. What time is it now? I'm kidding.
Thanks to Graham for that question. Another cheeky one that's come in from Dylan Cockey. Says, what's it like to be the third wheel now that Blake stole Steph from you?
Oh, buddy.
Well, you see, Blake is a beauty. I get that completely. I see him all the time in the stands. I see him all the time in the stands talking to a different girl. So everyone's got to keep your eyes open. He's around.
One that's come up from a few people, but we'll go from Alan Brett. What's your favorite celly? And if not hockey, what do you think you have done?
You know, I don't really have one. I'll start with the celly. I don't think I really have one. It's kind of just in the moment, just express my feelings kind of to the crowd when I do score or do win a game.
It's
that
one.
So it's not the old Skittle.
It's not one.
I love that. You like the bow and arrow?
That's mine. I like that one.
Yeah.
Used to be a guy that played for a football team. I support used to do the bow and arrow as well. So, you know, quite like that one. You broke a few hearts with that.
All right,
as well.
I'm gonna have to do that next time.
I can't get these up, but I'm just looking on Twitter, and we're getting sent in some of these other Belfast Giants mugshots from NHL, and I tell you, some of them are absolutely belter.
I gotta see the highest and lowest ranked. I need to see this.
Okay, while you're looking them up, our Paddy, we'll take another few questions here from. Who's your favorite teammate to play with on the ice at the minute?
I can't pick one. I really can't.
Pick two, then.
I just think. Yeah, for
Goody and Coop.
I'd have to say my line mates, but yeah. At the end of the day, I think me and Goody have been together. This would be our second year now, so we kind of click. We kind of get each other. He's a competitive guy. We try to make each other better every time we step on the ice. So we listen to each other. Everything. Every time he comes up with a thought, I listen. Every time I come up with a thought, he listens. So just little ways to beat your opponents. I think we strategize a lot in the locker room and away from the rink. And it's just good crack too. So.
Patrick,
keep going. One more, Davey. Grab one more, and I'll pull up some of these.
I go along the same sort of line there. The slight nuance of differences then between having JJ as that sort of like out and out playmaker, if you like, versus Coops, who'll just reverse that rear end into the blue paint and let you and Goody get. Or even like people sometimes think of Coops as this just like a big bulldozer who go in the blue paint. Look at the play he made on Friday night behind the net. The little soft hands for the 1-2 off the back of the net, and then a little backhand feed that nobody was looking for Goody just coming in open on the back post. Like, Coops is a high skill player.
He thinks the game at an elite level for sure. He uses his big body for size. When he's in front, you can't get him out the way. And if you do get him out the way, he's going right back in there. Or he's coming out to help one of the guys in the corners. He's got hands, he's got a shot. But I think the key thing for Coops is he can think the game very well. Like he gives me a lot of space. He gives David a lot of space. He can support us when we need support. Just an example. I think it was that same goal that you were saying. It started off with him actually flying the zone, creating space, bringing their D from our blue line, trapping them in our zone all the way to their blue line, and beats them off the icing. And puts his body to work, I guess. He just thinks the game very well, and he creates a lot of space for us.
Let's wrap things up briefly just with let's see these. So there we go. There's Sam Rupp and Kevin Rain.
Oh, Rainer, look at that. Look at that lettuce. Look at that salad, Rainer.
I will say that I will say defensively it has Kevin Rain at 70, while it has Scott Conway at 65.
I mean, you take that
which is equal to Sam Rupp defensively. 65 yeah. for him, 65 yeah. for you. There you go.
What's that first one, Paddy?
Yeah.
Skating, shooting, handling, checking, and defense.
I feel like a little Neil Whiteside Jans TV kind of thing coming on here.
Yeah. So there's and that one.
Rupper looks like an extra from Greece.
There it is. Yeah.
Oh, he's so beautiful.
Yeah,
They all fantastic look. I love it.
One for if anybody listening on the podcast, get yourself onto the YouTube and have a look at this.
Jacket now.
Yeah.
And then we'll see. So there's one more to share, I think it's, and then we'll let you go, which is your entire line, which is, let me see.
Good job under pressure, Paddy. You really,
well, it's not me. It's a big old shout out to Graham who sent these through on Twitter. Well, oh, so it's Laker and Goody.
Oh boy.
There you go.
Couple
wow, 67 defensively for Laker. That's incorrect.
So good.
66 better handling.
69 for Laker on the check. Too, leading the team in hits.
See this right here? See this right here?
Look at, oh man. Good. I can't believe Goody's 70
smoking for the checking lines. For Goody.
That's ridiculous.
Oh boy!
I've got a feeling these are going to be in the player WhatsApp group very, very soon.
It's been done out of a hat. Clearly, somebody
if we just get directly in contact with EA Sports, we'll be sure to give them the. We're going to listen, Cons. We'll let you go just briefly before you go. You know, three games in the next week, starting with Dundee tomorrow night. How are you guys set up?
Yeah, we're looking forward to tomorrow night. Once I get my rest after this, we're good to go. But yeah, I think we're dialed in for this weekend. We know there are three big games coming up, so we can only take one at a time, obviously. So we'll take Dundee as it comes. I know they got a new goalie in, Francis Marat. He's actually a really good goalie. Played with him in Allen. So we're up for. I think we got the guys coming back in our line.
Oh.
Hello.
You're still there.
Yeah. So I said I think we have a few guys coming back into our lineup this next game here. So that's gonna give us a lot more energy for the games down the road. So yeah, we're excited to play these games and hopefully come out with three wins.
Fantastic. Well, listen, thanks very much for your time. Go get that rest and good luck in the next few days.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Have a good night.
Yep, any time for the friendship. For big thanks to Scott Conway for his time and for the crack. Big thanks to everybody who got in contact on Twitter and the messages through this. Sorry we can't get to them all, but a big thanks for sending them through, and we enjoyed that a great deal. Jolie, time for some news.
Yeah, just for the record, by the way, JJ Pickenich is currently projected 54 points out in Norway. So come on home, John. Let's go.
54 points in Norway and another 54 in Belfast.
Yeah. do the Mike Hoffman and swoop in after Christmas to win a league title. Yeah. Your news this week then, boys. This past week in the Premier Sports Elite League, on Saturday, the Manchester Storm started their weekend right with a 5-2 win over the Dundee Stars in Altrincham. I'm going to pull this page over to the other side of the screen because I'm breaking my neck. The Cardiff Devils stuck 5 past the Glasgow Clan without reply in Brayhead, and the Coventry Blaze were beaten 5-3 by the Fife Flyers up in Scotland. On Sunday, the Clan came up so close, but were beaten 4-3. Can't buy a win. Can't off by a win, but were beaten 4-3 in OT by a Coventry side, to be fair, who needed their bounce back. That now leaves Malcolm Cameron's side without a single win in 15 competitive games. And if you've been on Twitter.com, this week, it's starting to get fairly unpleasant in the crowd there in Glasgow. The Cardiff Devils took it to OT, but beat the Fife Flyers 4-3 in Kirkcaldy, and the table-topping Guildford Flames made it a 4-pointer with a 6-3 win over the Stars. There were also 2 Challenge Cup group games this week, as the Sheffield Steelers left Nottingham with a 7-4 win on Saturday, and a bit of a barn burner of a contest in the old rivalry, and that momentum rolled into Sunday, where they had a 6-0 shutout win back in Yorkshire, securing their place in the knockout round alongside the Giants, Flyers, and Stars. So the Challenge Cup groups, pour one out for the Challenge Cup groups. They finally conclude on Friday with another Steelers v Panthers showdown, and the Devils rounded out with a home game against the Coventry Blaze. and we should have a picture of that knockout round. A quick note on Team GB under-20s. Coach Martin Grubb has named his squad for December's IIHF Men's Under-20 World Championship in Lithuania. Among the names are your very own Max Stewart and Kel Beatty, alongside Belfast's own Carter Hamill, who is playing with the Leeds Knights this year. So congratulations to those boys. Great to see their development continue and another selection to the under-20s. And we have, I don't know if you've got video, Paddy. I never spoke to you before the show today, but we have some DOPs this week. I don't know if you have.
Mate, come on, I'm always prepared.
Let's go.
This isn't my first podcast.
It is nowhere even near your first podcast. Happy 17th birthday this week to Davey from the Bridge, by the way. You've been doing this a long time, my guy. Davey Phillips, formerly of this parish, quite a while ago now, was assessed a penalty for an illegal check to the head on Storm forward Jesper Orville on Sunday afternoon, which caused an injury, removing Orville from the game. This one's quite unpleasant, actually. I winced whenever I saw this hit in slow motion. So here, I have to say as well, sensational replays and really good slow-mo, clear, crystal. It's some of the best kind of footage of one of these things I've seen. But anyway, still very unpleasant. Dobb says Orville's in control of the puck in his offensive zone, driving to the net with Brendan Connolly defending and Davey Phillips back-checking. Connolly uses his body and stick in an attempt to hold up Orville and stop him from getting to the net. Orville fends off Connolly using his free hand, getting him in front and continuing to the net. Then with Orville tied up and slowed down after the battle with Connolly.
Oh.
Horrible. He, as it says, slowed down and tied up after the battle with Conway. Davey approaches from the side by cutting across the front of Orville's core, delivering a high, forceful check that makes the head the main point of contact. The snap on the head to the side is disgusting, where such a head contact was avoidable. They say it's important to note that Orville's head is the main point of contact on this hit. Davey's shoulder makes substantial, forceful contact through Orville's head, with the head taking the brunt of the force of the check. This is the key part for me. If he wants to deliver this hit, Davey Phillips must stay low, take an angle of approach that hits through the shoulder and core rather than one that makes the head the main point of contact. He knows going in at that angle, coming down the tracks with him parallel to him, that he's going to deliver a hit that's not appropriate in terms of the point of contact on the body, and with a player coming up and out after tangling with cons.
Can you roll that Paddy back
at full speed?
It's coming again. I'm not sure that Orville just doesn't turn ever so slightly. There's not a lot of mitigation there for that.
Look how high his feet are when they both leave the ice as well. Like, he's really chucked up. He's thrown himself up into that hit.
I don't want to believe that of Davey Phillips, you know, but what's been the outcome?
He has been haven't written it down, boys. I'll get it for you in one second.
Hold on, I'll get it for you here. It's two games.
That's a very, very light suspension.
I think that's incredibly lenient. And
Davey Phillips, formerly of his parish. Davey Phillips, great guy. Davey Phillips, not a dirty player, in my opinion.
I love Davey. Love him.
That's a bad, bad hit. There's just no... I'm trying to look at that. Does Orville just ever so slightly change his angle of attack just as Davey Phillips comes round here? Because he's obviously going to turn to the net. I just don't see the mitigation there. I talk often when I'm talking about when we're doing tops, that there's a responsibility on the player not to put themselves in a vulnerable position. There's a responsibility nowadays in the modern game for a D-man. I don't know what Davey Phillips can do, because if he doesn't make the hit, he's in on goal.
Yeah.
But the responsibility is on Davey Phillips there to make a better hit, and he has made a really, really bad choice there, and I think he is very, very lucky to only have a 2-game ban. They're very lucky, and hopefully Orville's okay.
Yeah, he did come out of the game and has sustained an injury on during that game, and he is, if you look at the IHL charts right now, the top point scorer in the league with 16 points. So that's a big loss for the Manchester Storm if he's to lose any kind of time. And as I say, love Davey Phillips. I had a really good time with Davey when he was here. He's a good presence about the place. That hit was a shocker. The way that head snaps to the side is really unpleasant to see. So there you go. And just one last note, Paddy, there's no Premier Sports game this week. Your next live fixture with Aaron Murphy and co will be on Wednesday, the 9th of November, when the Sheffield Steelers host the Coventry Blaze at 7 p.m. on Premier Sports 2. Got to watch Sheds, by the way, for the Cardiff game, and I thought he was fantastic. Me and Danny were sitting kind of texting him in between breaks and stuff, and he was in really good form, but I was really impressed with Sheds beside Aaron Murphy.
I think, that's your news. I think we said So we said this a few weeks ago about the new sort of bringing in sheds and oh, what you call her, the Scottish girl who anyway, the new bringing in the new people as well to sort of co-commentate with Murph to share the load of Paul Eddie. He's been a real success. Yeah. It's been really good to watch, and Sheds is excellent to watch in that. And the insight he gives from a shooter's perspective on how to build into the play is just second to none, and no more than you expect from a guy with his record of scoring, his point scoring, goal scoring, and likes, and his status within our club. So yeah, fantastic. Thanks for that, Joel. Three games in the next. Angela Taylor, thanks, Davey. That's their name. I've got a name check. That Angela.
I was just trying to give it to you, so you didn't have to.
Oh, yeah, it was nice.
No, Davey, that's very kind, but Davey did. But Angela Taylor, that's her name, and fantastic she is as well. With the coverage that Premier Sports are now providing, who are about to change the name. I wonder that'll be reflected on today, but we'll come to that, I'm sure. Viaplay, I think it's called. Anyway, three games in the next 7 days for the Belfast Giants. We are home tomorrow night, Wednesday night, 7 p.m. to the Dundee Stars, Jeff Mason's Dundee Stars, and at the SSC Arena, 7 p.m. And if you're not getting down to that, Giants TV, of course. And then at the weekend, Saturday, away to Fife, Saturday at 7:15 p.m. over in Kirkcaldy at the Fife Ice Arena. You can get that on Flyers TV. And then back home on Sunday at 4 p.m., the Glasgow Clan are in town at the SSC Giants TV for that. Three Scottish opponents, Davey.
Look, Scott Conway's been on, said they've been working on defensive things this week, which when you look back at the goals we've conceded over the last while, defensive frailties at time. We play this really high pressure forecheck, backcheck, and sometimes if you just one person just doesn't quite get the detail, maybe four get just the bees to the honey pot and just leaves the weak side wing open, and we've been hammered a few times in that. So it's good to hear that they're talking about that, and fast defense creates fast offense. So that's all positives. A couple of guys come back. Obviously, we missed Sammy Rue up by ill at the weekend. We missed Kevin Rain, who's obviously been out since the Skellefteå trip, and who else? Big Derek Angeli. I don't know. Scott Conway said there's a couple back. I don't know which ones are back, and I don't know what the status of injuries is. So, but Body's coming back. Let's other people rest who might need it. So, good, and take the overs.
Joe,
new goal. Look, I'm being facetious there. As Scott Conway talked about it, they've got a new goaltender in Dundee. Obviously, Muse coming in Glasgow as well. Unknown quantities in terms of like us trying to even analyze them statistically. The data isn't there yet. They put a full picture in. You've got Shane Owen and Fife. You're coming up against. There's no bad goaltenders in this league anymore. So start running goalies and try and get backups in. It's my plan. Paul Thompson-esque plan.
Joe?
I'm far too afraid of Adam Keefe to talk about any game beyond the next one. So the Dundee Stars tomorrow night. The thing with them is, and again, set my stall out, unashamedly love Jeff Mason, and I will warm to any team that he's in charge of. They've been a bit of a mixed bag. They've been unpredictable, but the games they have won have been kind of upset wins. They went on a three-game streak there where they beat the Nottingham Panthers in Dundee. They then went to Fife and beat the Flyers the night after, and then last Wednesday they went to Yorkshire and beat the Sheffield Steelers. So no games or walkovers in this league. As much as I said that it suffers from predictability at times, any team on any given night can cause an upset. And especially coming off the back of a difficult road trip, Cons talks about the boys being tired, and obviously dropping that game against Guildford, you're just going to want to get back to plugging away and putting points on the board. So let's get back to it. And as much as I love Jeff, I hope we win.
Hear, hear. Yep, those games tomorrow night, Wednesday, 7 p.m. against Dundee, away on Saturday, 7:15 against the Fife Flyers, and at home to the Glasgow Clan on Sunday at 4 p.m. Any other business? And I'm just going to start quickly by saying good luck to, what was his name? Chris McCourt, who's watching in, and he's doing some job interview prep.
Oh,
go get it.
You got this, buddy. You got this.
I have. Hang on, Paddy. I'm going to send you a photo on WhatsApp. Can you quickly do something with it?
I'll do my best. You talk through.
I talk you through it. I'll send it to
you. Can I give you one just while Davey's doing
you
that?
You go for it, Joel.
I don't know if you saw this on Facebook today, and I hope he doesn't mind me saying, but just a really big get well soon to Nigel Cardwell, who's a great 10-year Giants fan, him and Kathy. Nigel took unwell and was in hospital in Wales. So he's saying that it's a bit of recovery to do. I don't want to obviously give away, you know, details on the show, but Nigel and Kathy are two absolute sweethearts, lovely people, and they've been around our club for a long time. And Nigel is a very funny, lovely, warm man, and so is Kathy. So I hope that he gets better really, really fast, and that he's back to his usual best very, very soon.
I wasn't aware of that.
The original Loki from Kingdom and Giants Forum, wouldn't it have been, Paddy? Nigel would have been. Yeah. Best wishes on your recovery, Loki, Nigel, and hopefully see you at the rink very, very soon. Yep. See you at Christmas when I'm home for sure.
Kathy, to the great people with regards to it. So yes, best wishes to them and the Raj, who I believe they're over there. They have a new grandchild.
Oh, yes, Richard. Yeah.
So, new grandchild. Indeed. So congratulations to him, but I hope they get well soon. Davey, pitcher. There it is.
And you got a big mark of Mark and Kelly fame. Bit of a christening at the weekend there. Young Jackson. Don't know if he's named after my favorite Sons of Anarchy character or not, but it seems good timing.
Or whistle.
Indeed. spelt differently, however.
Okay.
So congratulations to Mark. He wasn't able to go to Guildford. They were down in Cardiff helping out as normal on Friday night, but him and Kelly had to travel back up the road to Telford or wherever their christening was on Saturday. So massive congratulations. Look at that. Absolutely beautiful family photo. That's one to put in the album for future years. But absolutely got a massive hug from him on Friday night. Always great to see those guys, and huge congratulations to the whole family there on the little christening they had on the weekend.
Here, here. Congratulations to them. Anything else, boys?
No, sir.
No, that's the case. I'm going to wrap it up because my mate Dermot's just getting off the bus at the pub. So I'm going to leave this and I'm going to join him in the pub
for
a pint.
Love to see that, Paddy.
Unless Joanna's watching at her dad's, which case I'm just doing.
I'm going to bed. Joanna's not watching. Safe as houses, mate. Safe as houses.
You would say three games, Dundee on Wednesday, Fife on Saturday, and at home to the Glasgow Clan on Sunday. Also, a big thank you this week to everybody who wishes well in regards to 17 years of the View from the Bridge podcast, which was last week. You know, we really appreciate the people who got in touch and wished us well for that, who knew that this nonsense would last as long as it did, but it has. Big thanks to Scott Conway for joining us on the show. Thanks to yourself, Joel, for the news, and yourself, Davey, for the videos of the game. You can get us on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram, on WhatsApp. You can get us on WhatsApp. You can get us on all sorts of platforms, and you can get them on the Apple Podcast and on your normal download us on all your normal podcast platforms. And the Alexa thing. The Alexa thing does it as well.
The kids will be asleep now. Don't be on it.
Davey and Joel, thanks very much for your time, lads.
Thanks, boys.
Cheers, cheers. Thanks.
And wherever you are this weekend, we hope you enjoy your hockey, and we'll catch you here next time on A View from the Bridge.
Social Podcast Network.